SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan. Happy Friday to all our viewers and to all our listeners. Kev, happy Friday to you. I'm excited for the weekend.
Yes, absolutely. Always a happy Friday here. Just had a sip of coffee right before we got off and running. I advise everyone else to do the same. It is quite early, but you know what? It's always the same time, so we're ready to go.
It's funny because this is the first Friday that I have not actually had coffee. I made a shake this morning and now I'm really regretting it and wish I went with the coffee. But let's get to our 7-7 top headlines. The Nets dropped four straight games. Brooklyn lost to the Mavericks 113-109 as an away favorite last night. The Nets hit two games behind the 76ers for that number one seed in the Eastern Conference standings. And they could potentially slip to that number three seed at this point.
Absolutely. If Milwaukee wins out, then Brooklyn will fall to the three. They no longer control their own destiny in that regard. The one seed, I think the dreams for that are a distant memory. And what jumps off this game is holding the Dallas to 113 usually is enough for the Brooklyn Nets to get the job done. Not this go around, only getting to 109, an off night for KD. 0 for 4 from beyond the arc, only 20 points from the sniper. You usually expect more from him. High bar, but you usually expect more.
Yeah, for sure. And we know that some big stars have been sidelined with injuries. That's the common theme of this season. So according to Malika Andrews of ESPN, James Harden says he is very confident he'll be back before the postseason. Meanwhile, it's also been reported that LeBron James could return to the lineup early next week, with the Lakers again being extremely cautious with his ankle injury.
Yeah, so monster updates, of course, the two favorites in the respective conferences. Harden, I don't think then will be playing at Denver, otherwise that report would have said back this weekend. The other four games are a couple of back-to-backs, but if James Harden can make it back, they'll be able to mix and match their star players there and get a couple of reps in the building. But there's, unless they fully punt some second legs, they're not going to have full games together. And then quickly on the LeBron thing, now we already know, out this weekend, unfortunately, against Phoenix. So the clock continues to tick on when, if we will see LeBron before the regular season.
And speaking of the Lakers, Anthony Davis left early in their game last night in their 24-point loss to the Clippers with back spasms. He posted 4 points in 9 minutes of action. The Lakers are in real danger at this point of having to play in that play-in round, sitting in that number six spot right now in the Western Conference standings.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to someone. They point out how unfortunate it is that this season the Clippers-Lakers rivalry just not able to live up to the billing. The first game of the year these teams played, which was a game in which all of a sudden LeBron didn't play the final 10 minutes. LeBron and AD were not available for the second meeting, and no LeBron here or Dennis Schroeder for the third. For the Lakers, what do you say? Oh, AD says he's fine. Okay, we won't panic. And as far as the Clippers go, you just got to keep putting results up if you want to make sure you're the three seed in front of Denver.
And in more positive news, Russell Westbrook triple-double again in the Wizards' win against the Raptors in overtime. No surprise. I feel like it's Groundhog Day with this man. 13 points, 17 boards, 17 assists. Bettors everywhere cashing, of course, those Russell Westbrook triple-double tickets. But at this point, there's not even great value on those because he's hitting them so often.
He's a monster favorite to get a triple-double, but he should be. He has one in 15 of his last 18 games. They're 14-4 in that stretch. To say he's a walking triple-double, it almost feels like it doesn't do it justice. Yep. He's closing in on Oscar Robertson's record, too.
And quickly want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Erin Dolan, doing our 7-7 top headlines. Let's switch it over to Major League Baseball. Angels cut slugging slugger Albert Pujols after the Angels were swept by the Tampa Bay Rays in a four-game series. Could this be the end of his Major League Baseball career, Kev?
It could be, which it's sad if it ends this way. I have to think, even if it's just the Cardinals, somebody will put him on a roster for at least one more game. But you're talking about a guy, top three RBIs, top five home runs, multiple MVPs, double-digit All-Star games, couple of World Series, one of the all-time greats in Pujols.
And Philly Zach Wheeler pitches a shutout versus the Brewers. He allowed just three hits, struck out eight, walked none, and threw 118 pitches. Milwaukee suffers a four-game sweep at Citizens Bank Park.
First of all, great result from the Phillies on the series as a whole. You point out the sweep. That's tremendous stuff. When Zach Wheeler has it going, I mean, this season, almost unhittable. As good as any pitcher when his stuff is on. This is not the first time that he's gone incredibly deep into a game, though his first complete game shutout of the season. I've been very impressed by Zach Wheeler on the mound this season for the Phillies. Yep.
And in NFL news, Dolphins sign cornerback Jason McCourty to a one-year deal. This reunited McCourty with Miami's head coach Brian Flores after spending his last three seasons in New England. Miami 14-1 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the AFC Championship, 30-1 to win the Super Bowl.
And I think the big arms race right now is between Miami and New England, at least according to the odds, for the second spot in the AFC East. The Pats got a big boost throughout their offseason. The Dolphins, though, still holding as that second choice at plus 320, bringing in the former New England Patriot in McCourty. I think both teams could also give the Bills a run for their money. I think the AFC East is going to be very fun this year.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we have a packed show, Kev. I'm excited for it. Lots of things to come. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about the NBA. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Let's recap some NBA games that happened last night. Starting off with the Mavs beating the Nets 113-109. Now, the Nets closed as three-point favorites in this matchup. Of course, not being able to cover that with the Mavs getting the win. Mavs overcoming 45 points from Kyrie Irving, handing the Nets their fourth straight loss. Dallas improves to 10 games over 500 for the first time this season, while Brooklyn is suddenly in very much danger of slipping to that number three spot in the East.
Yeah, and I think we can start there. Just before we even get to the ins and outs of this game specifically, but Brooklyn right now is three back of the Sixers in the loss column. And Philly having that tiebreaker means they're basically four back of the Sixers in the loss column. Well, the Sixers only have six games left. So, I mean, you're talking about a Philly team that would basically have to lose out, despite the fact that they are going to be monster favorites for almost every single game left they have to play. Long story short, the Sixers are going to be the one seed in the Eastern Conference. That's where we are now in that race. But this now comes down to the two seed. We've, you know, I kind of identified this a little bit ago, Aaron, but Milwaukee was not, you know, buried in the way that some, I think, had thought. Now owning the tiebreaker over the Brooklyn Nets should motivate the Milwaukee Bucks in the remainder of their games to push forward, to keep the pace, and to apply that pressure to the Nets, because we know 1-2-3 is going to be Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee in some order. But now it seems like we know Philly's the one. If you're Milwaukee and you're Brooklyn, you're going to either host or travel to your opponent in round number two based on how you close this regular season. Milwaukee now should be very motivated to try and win out. I know, easier said than done, but they will be favorites in the remainder of their games.
Well, the Bucks' next game is against the Rockets today, so they should easily win that game. And then the Nets' next game is against the Denver Nuggets. So we'll be able to know come, I guess, around Saturday night what's going to happen in terms of some of these standings. And, of course, they're going to change over the next week. But just you make a great point that two spot is up for grabs, the three spot is up for grabs in the Eastern Conference standings. But it feels like all these teams at this point that had the potential to even get into the play-in round or just get one of those spots where they don't even have to do that are playing all out. They have to play lights out because they have to try to get those wins.
Oh, 100%. I mean, this is the thing. We entered that game and, you know, we're preaching the importance of it for the Brooklyn Nets because Milwaukee might catch them. But, I mean, Dallas is going to land anywhere from 5 down to 7. Either, you know, a 4-5 game that they'll, of course, think is winnable, or they're in the play-in trying to avoid, you know, single elimination Steph or whatever it might be. So, yes, you absolutely have a very motivated Dallas squad. And I thought you saw the Mavericks, you know, come out and all in all play some really nice basketball here.
Yeah.
No Kristaps Porzingis, but knocking down 15 of their 34 attempts from beyond the arc. And I really was impressed by Luka Doncic. We know the Don is ready for the big moments. He's been ready for the big moments the moment he entered this league because of the reps that he had over in Europe, which, you know, again, clearly NBA teams overthought, like as if he would have been better off playing at Duke. That's neither here nor there. But he was making big shot after big shot in the early beginnings of this game and did a great job closing it out in the fourth quarter. And that's the thing about Luka Doncic. We talk about, you know, Dallas Mavericks teams and their playoff hopes. They can enter a series against anybody in the West and try and make claim that they will have the best player in this series. That is what makes that Mavericks team interesting.
And the Mavs have been heating up, having won 8 of their last 10 games, even without Kristaps Porzingis in the majority of those. Let's also talk about another game that happened last night, the Lakers versus the Clippers. We know LeBron James is not back just yet. Of course, the Clippers getting this win, 118-94, cruising past them in what would have been a potential playoff matchup had a lot of these players been in. Anthony Davis also exiting with back spasm is a little worrisome, but I feel like for the Lakers, I mean, they are in deep water here, holding that number 6 spot right now in the Western Conference. But we know that LeBron James isn't coming back this weekend, but I would have thought that they would have put him in to potentially even just help out in some of these games to get the win, to not have to play in that play-in round, because that just obviously is going to notch more games for them. But they can't push him to come back, which I understand with the injury. But just the Lakers, I think, are in real, real danger. And I know that you had asked me a question before the show that we should potentially bring up. Should the Lakers even be favored the way they are right now on the odds boards?
Yeah, this is a team that's the second choice to win the title, but I guess more importantly, they're the favorites to win the Western Conference. And I think it's a fair question to ask if they should still be favorites to win the West. And maybe the team that they just lost to in the LA Clippers should be the favorites. Because here's the thing, look, Utah, Phoenix, whether people like it or not, the lack of pedigree, the fact that they've never done it before, is going to keep their odds at bay. The Nuggets and the Mavericks have megastars in Jokic and Doncic, but they come with their own issues. The Nuggets losing out on Jamal Murray, the Mavericks, and do they have enough? But the reality for the Lakers, I would say, unless we see them surprise in their next two, at Portland, home versus Phoenix, no LeBron either game, they're probably falling to the play-in. But more important than that, Aaron, they're going to be on the road every single round. And I think it is fair to wonder if that could make this more difficult than we think, because, again, we don't know how healthy LeBron is going to be. I have for a long time, you know, kind of the Aaron Rodgers, relax, relax, it's LeBron. But I thought LeBron would have been back sooner than he was.
Yeah.
And then he was back, and then he looked good. But then,
and then
I think
he made
then
those
we
comments
were
about
him.
Not being 100% ever again in his career, which didn't help.
Like, to be honest with you, that's just him being dramatic at times, which I'm
And then you wonder
why I
say he's not my favorite player.
Oh, I mean,
kind of
listen, you should
love drama it. Around himself.
You got to create the drama, though. I mean, all these legends created the drama. Michael Jordan convinced himself, like the 9th player on the Wizards said, "You're not good at basketball." And he's like, "That's why I scored 60. Like, no, it's not, Michael. It's because the Wizards couldn't guard you. Drama is what these guys do. Whatever. You don't like LeBron, you're missing out. At the end of the day, I think you have to wonder if the Lakers' odds, when the bracket is set, whether they're in the play-in or not, they're going to be on the road each and every round. Are they going to drop? And if so, it's going to be the Clippers that pass them. So if you are looking for a new favorite, it would be the Clippers who, with that win, are still giving themselves an opportunity to have a home court at the minimum in round one.
Because the Nets being plus 200 right now to win the NBA championship, and the Lakers plus 440. We don't know yet currently how James Harden's going to play. We don't know how LeBron James is going to play. So it seems like the Clippers at plus 600 is still great value right now, especially if you see some of these teams add back in these players and they're not playing as well, or they don't have the chemistry, they're just not up to the full health that they should be. I feel like the Clippers would be a really good team to be betting on right now before those odds come down, because I do think that eventually they will.
I'm glad you think as much. That's why we made the case for the Clippers at 6-1 a couple weeks back. I really do believe it,
which is surprising.
I think actually at the time I think it was 7-1. So it has come down a little bit. We've seen the Lakers odds grow longer, but we've seen the Nets odds grow shorter. You know, I saw the interesting stat. They're 9-11 without Harden. That's very weird. That, like, they are struggling that much without Harden. Now, I know that means that there's games where they're, you know, running solo, Kyrie by himself or Durant by himself. But Harden by himself is, like, out there beating the Phoenix Suns. Like, that's just a – it's an interesting thing. I am very excited to see what LeBron and, of course, what Harden looks like. Mm-hmm. But, again, keep in mind, if you're someone out there who's like, listen, I don't know if LeBron can make a full postseason run, that same worry has to apply to James Harden.
I'm excited come Monday when we talk about the NBA standings, because so much is going to happen, I feel like, in the next 48, 72 hours. So stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break to talk more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line for Kevin Walsh. I'm Erin Dolan. Want to continue with our NBA recap. Five more games. We already talked about the other two that were on the board. Starting off with the Bulls versus the Hornets. So I was all over the Hornets money line. Did not end well for me. Bulls win 120-99. Bulls get the win with Zach LaVine back on the court. And while you might think he was the deciding factor in this game, he really wasn't. He only had 13 points in this win. Nikola Vucevic led the team with 29.7 players in double digits. Bulls cover the 4.5 after opening at -2.5 over Cassius as well.
This was a really ugly performance from Charlotte. I watched a lot of this. You mentioned you had a money line, had them plus the 4.5. I thought the Hornets were in a really nice spot here against a Chicago Bulls team that, yes, was getting Zach LaVine back, but was 3-7 in the 10 games that LaVine and Vucevic had played together. But it was the Hornets who looked discombobulated. LaVine was, you know, you said it, he wasn't excellent. He was fine. 5 of 11, 3 of 8 from beyond the arc. The 13 points is about all he needed. Vucevic was very good. 29-14, what they paid for. LaMelo, 1 of
terrible.
10. That's miserable. I literally
have him as my next little note here. I'm like, LaMelo Ball, terrible.
Yeah,
LaMelo rookie of the year, not my rookie of the year.
Yeah, we're going
just in this one game. I was so mad. Yeah,
I know, that's fair enough. I mean, look, Terry Rozier as well really struggled. 5 of 16. The starting backcourt going 6 of 26. That's a recipe for disaster, if you ask me.
Yeah. And, of course, yesterday you called this game, Kev, with the Pistons +9. They actually ended up beating the Grizzlies 111-97, covering at a 9-point dog. Six players for Detroit in double digits. That's not something you see often when you look at the box score for Detroit.
I love this team. I mean, I love the – I'm going to miss them so much. They're so terrible. They're so good. They're the best. They really are. Like yesterday, because I also had so we had the Hornets, right, and then had a little bit of the over in that Dallas-Brooklyn game. And all of a sudden, like, the Mavericks can't score, can't trust them.
Yep.
The Hornets have no idea what's going on, can't trust them. So I go to Old Reliable. The 20-47 Detroit Pistons. The only team in the NBA that I trust is the Detroit Pistons. And of course they won outright. If you haven't been paying attention I guess fair enough if you haven't been paying attention to the Detroit Pistons. But if you haven't, this isn't a surprise. I mean, it's an upset. They obviously should have been underdogs. But, like, yeah, you got 9 points. I mean, you were –
when you see that many with the Pistons, and you have to take it.
Yes.
Absolutely. I feel like anything 9 and above.
Smooth riding. Smooth riding from the Pistons. Yeah. I love this team.
I can tell in your voice how happy you are about it this morning. Also, the Wizards playing the Raptors get the win in overtime, 131-129. They actually cover if you got them at -2 yesterday. And as for the over at 235.5, that clearly cashed. Westbrook, I mean, I don't even know what more to say about this man. Triple-double binge in overtime, 34 triple-double of the season. Bradley Beal adding 28 points for Washington. But I thought this was a really good win for them, given that they went into overtime, they were able to cover the spread, mm-hmm, and get the win.
I get vibes that Russ is Brady-esque for you. Now, I know, like, Brady's the GOAT, all those things, but I feel like,
I don't know,
like,
if I would equate him to that.
I feel like you always think very highly of Russ. That's how I feel.
Do
like,
I?
Very,
no, I feel like just because he's, Russ. I mean, 34th triple-double of the season, like, you're going to cash that ticket more times than not, I feel like, when you're betting him to do that. And he's, I mean, he's obviously an unbelievable player, but we were so mad, yeah, at him at the beginning of the season that I can't really get over that, because
sure
we were at one point talking about, like, what's going on here? Can Bradley Beal come to the Philadelphia 76ers? Please help us out here, get some points, mm-hmm, on the board. But obviously that didn't happen, these two staying together. But I really, really like this team, especially to make the playoffs right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yesterday was +184 for yes, but I think these two are just an awesome duo.
So over their last 18 games, he has 15 triple-doubles. But more importantly, they are 14-4 in their last 18 games.
Yeah.
14-4. Like, they win all the
and
time.
And are covering.
Like, they were back there next to the Pistons, my beloved Pistons. Imagine they were in the play-in. That'd be great. Like,
remember
all
the memes of Beal, how upset he was after every game he put up, like, 50 points and they wouldn't win?
Yeah,
like,
no.
What is wrong with this team?
He looked like me when I'm listening to someone give a bad LeBron take. I mean, he was wearing it on his face in every way imaginable. So
you and I are both like that. We wear things on our faces, and we try to play it off, and then we end up looking like this.
But look, there's no way around it. They figured it out, and their odds to not make the playoffs not being listed, I think in some ways Aaron could be a little bit telling that they're not sure how to price
them. Is that
off
the board now?
I don't see it up right now. I know that these things kind of
reset. Oh, they did take it down.
But
no,
I think here's where I think we're getting to the point where they're going to be the 10. But they might be favored in if they play Indiana, and then if they win that game, if they play Charlotte,
like Indiana.
I think that they might be favored, though, Washington. So I really think what you're seeing is just a tremendous run from this team. You can't excuse how poor the start to the season is, but they've really figured something out. So a credit to Russ, a credit to Beal, a lot of these tertiary players, and even their head coach in Scott Brooks. They've 14-4 in their last 18 is really, really impressive.
Yeah, definitely. And then also last night, the Pacers beat the Hawks 133-126 with both teams being on a back-to-back. They cover 6.5-point dogs over Cassius. Caris LeVert scored 31 points, including 9 in the final 2.5 minutes. Domantas Sabonis, 30 points on 12 of 14 shooting. So Pacers actually looked good.
Yeah, they did. They let the Hawks
that was
come
such
right
a not fair, yeah.
I mean, okay, so they
I mean,
won,
after, I guess
right?
I guess they had that really, really bad loss against the Kings the day before. I mean, they only put up 93 points.
Yeah.
That was really bad. But they beat the Hawks, which is a good win
Kings.
For them.
Fair enough. But also, at one point, they were up by 18. And then with 2.5 minutes left, the Hawks were able to cut this to 1. And you're watching, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's a team that's discombobulated. They're home, and they're just losing the plot. Now, a great job by LeVert closing the door here, dropped 31. Sabonis chipped in with 30 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, 12 of 14 shooting. Sabonis is a do-it-all kind of player big, which is always very impressive here. For Indiana, to their credit, had they lost this game as well, then we really are like uber panic button, because they would have been such a mess. You know, you don't show up against Sacramento, you don't show up against Washington, and then blow a near 20-point lead against Atlanta. You might as well not even show up to the play-in. So good on them. It's the kind of result maybe they can rally around, but Indiana, I do not believe you.
Interesting. Yeah. And how about Golden State? They beat the Thunder as they should have, 118-97, covering as 14.5-point favorites. Under hits in this one. Steph ends with 34 points. Thunder are terrible at shooting, 23% from the 3-point line. So I don't really want to get into the ins and outs of this game, but more so, I'm looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, and the lines just moved again for the Warriors to make the playoffs. Yes, -115, no, -105.
I've been staring at that number for a while.
This line has been shifting. Yesterday it was yes, +110. I feel like it's constantly moving.
And the funny thing is, like, because, you know, we're talking about a 500 team, 34-33 right now, so a shade above. But, you know, they trade results so often. If they win, -115. Then they lose, all right, we're back down to +110. Like, and it just goes flip-flop all the time. Yeah. The thing that I've been trying to figure out with these to make the playoff markets is there any of these numbers at this point in the season present enough value to where you're better off betting that over betting the game to game to game? Because Golden State at -115 is going to be an underdog against Dallas, the Lakers, or the Blazers if they go to their building. They're going to be.
That's a great point.
So that's not better than -115. Now, if they win that game, like if you like them, you bet them to win that game, that's plus money, boom, great, love it. Yes, they would then be favorites if they lose to a Memphis, a San Antonio, a New Orleans, or even a Sacramento if you want to throw them in there. Of course, they'd be favored over those teams, but I now at least just have that game to work off of. And I don't know if Golden State would be ginormous favorites to where it would be some unbettable price. Maybe laying 3, maybe laying 4. I think the Memphis numbers would be very tight. I think the New Orleans numbers would be tight. We just saw the Pelicans laying points to Golden State. So I look at the Warriors, Aaron, I think it's really interesting to watch how the number moves, but I think they're a team that you are better off just, you know, picking your spots in the play-in. Do I like them in round one at plus money of the play-in, or do I prefer to wait if they lose and play them against the 9-10 game?
I still think the plus money would be the way to go. And after looking at this game, we also have the Hornets, yes, at plus money, +164 if you find value there. Pacers also +164 to make the playoffs. And the San Antonio Spurs +490, the biggest value on the board, but of course less likely than the other ones that are available right now. So do you find any value on these other three teams aside from the Warriors that you could play in this market as opposed to playing game by game? But it seems like the majority of these teams would be underdogs in a lot of the matchups.
Yeah, the funny thing is the San Antonio monster number is a number that you could at least work off of, because if they win the 9-10 game, well, +490, they will be significantly lower than that on a money line, whomever they would play that would lose the 7-8 game. Mm-hmm. But also, San Antonio just might not make the playoffs. Like, they've not been putting the results up. If I had to take one of these teams in a positive light, it might be the Charlotte +164, if only because it's +164, which is a nice big number, and I'll play in the 7-8 game and then, of course, the 9-10 game.
Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Friday, and welcome back to the Early Line. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dillon. Time to get into some Major League Baseball recap. We'll start off with the Brewers versus the Phillies. Phillies sweep Milwaukee in a four-game series. Wheeler was very impressive on the mound yesterday. Phils +430 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the NL East. Coming up on the odds boards there.
So I think one of the more interesting things, and I want to see how much this has moved from the other day, is of course the Phillies and a great job from them, Aaron, but it's the Brewers and their NL Central odds that I am very confused by. The Brewers are now losers of five consecutive games. The Cardinals have dropped two in a row in their own right, but the Cardinals are currently in first place in the NL Central. And for those that remember back when we were making cases and trying to find some value, the Cardinals were the favorite in the preseason to win the Central. So here we are, 35 some odd games through the season. The Cardinals, your preseason Central favorites, better record than the Brewers, longer odds than the Brewers. Can anybody make some sense of that? Because I don't understand it at all. I was having a conversation with someone off air who said maybe it's the Corbin Burns boost. That's possible. All that Cy Young hype, people were loving the Brewers, and you have conversations with people about how the futures market operates, and sometimes it just has to do where a certain sports book is being hit with money consistently, and perhaps the FanDuel sports book has been hit with consistent Milwaukee Brewers money, and it would not be advantageous for them to have the Cardinals come back up to the favorites, but I really don't understand. Even in the odds to win the National League, the Brewers are 10-1, which was the preseason number available on St. Louis. St. Louis is now at 17-1. That is a very puzzling move to me, Aaron, when you consider that the Cardinals have a better record and were the preseason favorites for the Central.
Yeah, and also I felt like when we were talking about this season in general, a lot of people were saying that they like the St. Louis Cardinals to kind of be one of those sleeper picks. So it is interesting to see their odds drop back there. Let's also talk about the Astros and the Yankees. So the Yankees took the first two games in the Bronx against the Astros. The Astros did win yesterday, 7-4 in the Bronx. I wanted to mention Gerrit Cole and what you thought of his play recently for the Yankees.
Yeah, so look, Gerrit Cole is, continuing to become more of a favorite to win the AL Cy Young, which is apparently a bad thing for New York baseball teams. Like, the Yankees are now 4-3 with Gerrit Cole this year. Yeah, that's got to be better. That has to be. In the same way with Jacob deGrom and the New York Mets. Like, they should win every single Jacob deGrom start. So they struggled to get to 500. The Yankees should win every Gerrit Cole start. Now, I know you're not going to win every single start, but, seven innings of work and only two earned runs is good enough. Chad Green gets the ball, gives up the three-run shot to Altuve, and the Astros don't look back. Some insurance coming from a Maldonado home run against Wilson. Like, the bullpen in three innings allowed more runs than Gerrit Cole did in seven. That cannot happen. That can't happen. So for the Yankees, ultimately, you want to win series. They've done that here against the Astros, taking two out of three. But you'll felt like you left a little bit on the table if you're the Yanks, Aaron, I think, because the final game for the sweep saw Gerrit Cole on the bump, and you should win when Big 4-5 takes the mound.
I also wanted to ask you about Giancarlo Stanton's MVP odds. Those have changed 20-1 right now to win the AL MVP. Are you surprised by this? I know this was a topic we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, so what a move. In about 48 hours, he has gone from 80-1 to 20-1. Wow. I mean, that is a huge move. But when you think about the way he's playing, now a 12-game hit streak for the Yankees. He's homered, I believe, in three straight games, every single one of the games here against the Houston Astros. And the thing for Stanton, who's now on the season hitting 312, and is not far off the major league for both home runs and RBIs, this new move to 20-1, you now almost feel a little late to the party. Probably feel like you can no longer bet it. If you had that 80-1 ticket in your pocket, you're doing jumping jacks, whatever it might be. You're celebrating cartwheels. I don't think people do jumping jacks to celebrate. Cartwheels, though,
I do
maybe.
jumping jacks
Not
every day
jumping
in my
jacks.
workouts.
Yeah, but do you ever do them to celebrate? I think that's definitely not a celebration. No, that's not a
Somebody's graduation, your brother's just in the back doing 25 jumping
just,
jacks.
Just in some jumping jacks. Now, you know what? I'm about to try to make that a thing. You know, celebratory jumping jacks. Next time LeBron.
I think everyone's
gonna
look at you like you are some reps. Bizarre.
You know what though? I mean, you gotta get the reps in while you can.
I feel like you can do push-ups to celebrate. People do that sometimes, but not.
That's more to showboat. The push-ups, that's more to showboat. I think if you get a little hyped up here. No push-ups to showboat though from KW, I'll tell you that. But look, the Stanton number again, that's just it's a big, big move. And it shows that there is still value in grabbing some of those long shots deeper down the board. Stanton is basically hot for 2 weeks. And just saw his number go from 80-1 to 20-1. And now, if you have that cash out option, job done. No longer have to worry about him staying healthy.
Yeah. And then also another headline I wanted to mention was the Indians sweeping the Royals to claim that number one spot in the AL Central standing, 17-13 right now record. This board was jumbled the other day. The Indians to win the AL Central, which is interesting. Sure. They do sit behind the White Sox, the Twins, and the Royals at plus 600.
So for KC, now losers of five in a row, checking in at third in the Central. You just have to ask yourself with a team like that. So here's the difference. The Dodgers get off to a tremendous start, hit a bump in the road, but it's the Dodgers. We know how good they are. We know the roster, Mookie Betts and Trevor Bauer and every single one in between. We trust that they'll figure it out, right? The Royals is different. I know people thought that the Royals could surprise, especially the KC natives, but the Kansas City Royals weren't supposed to win the Central. So now when we see them drop games in the way that they are, we think, oh, yeah, this is supposed to happen. They're coming back down to earth. This is who they are. And that's going to be the interesting thing to figure out for the Kansas City Royals. Look, a 16-14 start and one game off of the first place lead in the AL Central over your first 30, I think you'll take that if you're the Kansas City Royals. I think you'll take that. Yeah. Could it have been better? It could have been, but I think you'll take that. The one thing, though, we also talk about taking is a 6-1 shot on the Cleveland Indians, who are currently in first place there. I don't know if the Minnesota Twins can still be booked in front of them to win the AL Central in the way that they are.
And since we're talking about the Indians, I just wanted to mention that they are playing the Reds today. They are favored right now, minus 146 on the money line with the total at 8. Do you think the Indians will be able to just continue this streak and keep getting those wins?
So for Cleveland, they're really, really hot right now. The question, of course, comes down to, as always, right, our pitching matchups here. And Plesac has not had the most ideal start for this Cleveland team. So you see that total of 8, and you think to yourself here, well, if Cleveland's a favorite, but Plesac's a pitcher we're typically picking on, then maybe the over could be a play in this game. Plus, we know the Reds bring a great lineup to the ballpark whenever they check in. The value here could be on the over. It also is then maybe just on the Reds. Maybe you don't want to complicate this thing. But I think the over jumps out a little bit here. Also, the Indians have cashed over tickets in 7 of their last 9 games.
Oh, good trend. Good trend. Another game on the board I wanted to ask you about is the Battle of LA with the Dodgers versus the Angels. As you know, the Angels were just swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. They are the underdog, plus 134 on the money line, total at 8.5. What you going with here, Kev?
The Angels. What are we going to do with this team? I mean, they're really going to never let Trout get to the playoffs. Remember when they were red hot to start the season for like 2 series, and now they have the worst record in the AL West. They've lost 5 in a row. They're 4.5 off of Oakland, who, by the way, made me look quite silly pretty quickly. Oakland in first place in the AL West after their awful start to the season, but give them credit where you can. The thing is, it's not like the Dodgers come into this series playing good baseball. No way, no how. So it's a tough spot here for the Angels. You're going to try to get right against the LA Dodgers, who themselves are looking to get right. Oh, that's not great. Also, of course, I wonder a little bit if the Pujols thing hangs over this locker room. Albert Pujols has been there for a decade. This was the final year on his decade-long contract. And this is a guy that has been a clubhouse leader for them. I am sure so many of these players look up to. And yeah. I worry a little bit about how they handle that Pujols news here. You know what the Angels are like, Aaron? They're like the Pelicans. You see them, they're at home. You're like, wait a minute, they're what? I don't think they're that good. And you get a little bit of value, I think, sometimes fading that team. They're 6-8 on the season at home, don't have a winning record. This feels like when you come back around on the Dodgers and bet them to figure it out.
I know sometimes we talk about these tough games for the Dodgers. Are they going to be tired in the next series? And that's what I wanted to ask you about in terms of the Yankees and Astros just playing. And obviously it was a very heated series. Do you think the Astros will have some type of tiredness in their play? I know they're playing the Toronto Blue Jays today, Blue Jays being the underdog and the total at 9. But do you think that we can still factor that in after some of these teams play a really tough series that they'll be tired in the next?
100%. I think we have to try to identify those spots. You don't want to go crazy doing it, right? But the Dodgers and the Padres have provided us a bit of a blueprint. The first game that those teams have played after a Dodgers-Padres series, they are a combined 0-4 on the season. And what those series brought to the table was a playoff-ish atmosphere, high intensity. Now, did Yankees-Astros deliver that same level of intensity? It's a fair question. But it felt like a big deal. Maybe it felt like a bigger deal for the Yankees fans and the Yankees players and even the Astros players. But it is worth, in my opinion, keeping in mind. And that's why I'm glad you brought it up, because the Yankees are minus 194 here against the Nationals. And the Houston Astros are minus 136 against the Blue Jays here. So on the other side of the coin, if we grab plus money with Toronto and Washington, and the Astros and the Yanks are dealing with a little bit of a come down off of that highly anticipated series, you only need to hit one. You hit both. It's a great night.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point by you. Another game on the board quickly want to mention before we come up against the break, the Padres versus the Giants. Padres favored minus 152 with Snell on the mound. And then we have the total sitting at 7 on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Huge series here. Huge series, right? Giants enter in first place in the West. Padres enter half game back. If San Fran gets a series win here, by the way, they've lost two in a row. San Fran gets a series win. I don't know when you're allowed to start taking teams serious. This is almost the problem with Major League Baseball. Like, a team has won 40 games. I was like, I don't know. Does the season even start yet? I don't know. But if the Padres also can come in here and win in San Fran, they feel even more legit. Maybe the Dodgers could still struggle against the Angels. So monster series. I think maybe San Fran has a little bit of value as a home dog.
Lots of Major League Baseball games on the board today. Stay with us here on the Early Line. Coming up next, we're going to give you our hero of the night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on SportsGrid on SiriusXM, Channel 204 for Kevin Walsh. I'm Aaron Bolden. Happy Friday to all our viewers and listeners. In the NHL last night, favorites and underdogs split 3-3 with upsets by the Devils, the Blackhawks, and Canucks. Over-unders also split 3-3. It's now time to get to our hero of the night.
Hero of the night. If you had to go with an abbreviation, right, H-O-T-N. No, you usually don't do the T. H-O-N. Well, this time the H does stand for hockey. Little stick talk. It's been a while since we talked a little puck here on the Early Line. But yesterday was a unique day of some NHL action because every team was about minus 200 or better. I mean, we had huge favorites on the board, which meant we might get some big upsets, and we got a massive one with the Blackhawks and the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes, most points in the league on the FanDuel Sportsbook. They are minus 370 to win the President's Trophy. They were almost minus 370 to beat the Chicago Blackhawks. But don't tell that to the Blackhawks, who had other things in mind, cashing plus numbers of nearly plus 260, in large part due to our hero of the night, Alex DeBrincat, with the overtime winner. At the end of the day, hockey is going to be heating up a little bit more here, I think, on the early line. We are approaching playoff time, mm-hmm. and you want to see how teams are playing. Now, are we completely fading the Hurricanes just because they lost to the Blackhawks? No, I don't think that's the case, but I do appreciate a team like Chicago, who's outside of all this, you know, playoff race and hopes like that, showing up here, little Pistons-esque. I don't say that lightly. I don't want to give them that type of banner because that's a big deal, but I appreciate them showing up here, overtime winner, monster, plus 250, maybe even close to 3-1 tickets on the Blackhawks. Alex DeBrincat, Aaron, takes home our hero of the night.
I love it. And like you said, it's been a little bit since we talked about going to the ice for our hero of the night. So I'd love to hear it. Coming up next, we're going to give you our 7-7 top headlines.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it The Edge.